those beautiful songs were coming up from Traveler's Rest, where he's at now, and his wife with him. We're so honored to have both of you tonight. And again, we're so honored to have Dr. Locke preach to us from Taylorsville, North Carolina. His wife was able to come too. And if he didn't eat any more than me, he'll be in good shape. But I just about ate too much. We appreciate the good meal tonight. Brother Locke, come preach to us, my brother. Thank God for your obedience and for the word last night. And we know we won't be disappointed tonight in God's word.
Amen. Well, I could leave now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing always to be in church. If you have a copy of the Word of the Lord tonight, and I trust that you do, if you'll turn to the book of Ezekiel, if you would, please. The book of Ezekiel. And I want you to look in chapter 16 of the book of Ezekiel. While you're finding your places, would you please stand and we'll honor the Word of the Lord. I was taught coming up that if you came into the building, the auditorium, and someone was praying, it'd be just respectful to them, and the service just to pause while they pray. And then when the prayer is finished, you can find your place to be seated. I found out through the years, when we're praying, we're just talking to God. But I find that the greatest thing that will go on under this roof tonight is reading the Word of God. And that's God speaking to us. And that's why I usually ask folks to stand in respect to the Holy Word of God. It has, in some areas, has lost its importance. And when that happens, it loses its power. We start taking from and adding to, we do great damage to the Word of God. I appreciate my Bible tonight, don't you? I really do. You'll find again chapter 16 of the book of Ezekiel. And again, the Word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and to say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. We would call them a half-breed. And as far as thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to suckle thee. Thou wast not salted at all and swaddled at all to take care of the infection. Then I spitted thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, listen, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field and loathen as a person in the day that thou wast born. Verse 6, And when I pass by thee, this is God saying now to that unsaved child, and when I passed thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Let me just pause to say, thank God. That's what this is all about. It's not about existing. It's not about being there. It's about living. It's about living. Well, thank you. You can be seated if you like. Ezekiel is rather a book that amazes me in a lot of ways. I can read the book of Ezekiel and read those first couple of chapters, and I wonder where in the world we're going here. Wheels flying around. Against other wheels and inside of wheels, and then we see birds of every kind, and they're wide enough to build a platform on, and then we see a throne there, and eyes in the eyes of these fowls and so on. And I wonder what in the world's going on. But when I began to look then and just remember that God's saying these folks are in captivity. Now the best of them are down here now. And there's three exits out of Jerusalem into captivity. And this was among the first. These that went in this captivity was those who were young and had a great promise in life. They were young and they were intelligent. These were somehow or another that they found out from Babylon. They found out here's the best of the young people. Which leads me to say the devil never changes his activities. Back in the early 60s, he set out to ruin the generation of young people. Started out with Woodstock, laying in the mud, committing adultery, having dope of every kind of immoral act you can think of in the world. I mean, like hogs and dogs and beasts. They're the folks in our legislature today. They're the folks that's in the capital of our state now. They're the ones who is the leaders in our university. They're this one that's taken our young people into classrooms and absolutely brainwashing them. They're that kind. Devil's not in a hurry. And yet I can see what's happening here now as a result of that. These people had gone into captivity. How horrible. How deplorable the condition they were in. 700 miles away from home. They didn't go there and have a jailhouse to go to. No, they just turned them loose on the countryside in a place where there had been a village there, maybe a town in years gone by, and they didn't have bulldozers like we have and clean off when they got ready to build. They just built on top of the debris that was there. So they just turned these folks loose, and what this really said, make it if you can. If you can't die out here. And Ezekiel was among that crowd living in a refugee camp in a lean-to. Here's a man of God that had warned these folks for a number of years. Get right with God. He's 25 years old. He had been looking for the day when he would be initiated a priest. That was his ambition. That was a drive in this young man's soul. He'd been exposed to some things in God that young people were exposed to, like Daniel, Meshach, Meshach and Abednego. He'd been exposed to these things. He knew God. He knew who God was. He knew God's activity. And he knew here he was in a far country. And now 5 years had passed by, according to chapter 1. 5 years had passed by. He hadn't heard from God. There'd be no evidence that God was doing anything. And by the way, you don't have to see the evidence of what God's doing. I used to garden a little bit. And I'd go out there in the spring of the year about this time. Usually I'd wait till about May. A lot of folks like to plant on Good Friday, whatever that is. But I usually wait till about the first week in May and plant my corn and my beans. You know, I didn't expect to go out there the next day and see them popping up out of the ground. But I knew underneath that soil that is warm by now, there's germination taking. I couldn't see it, but I knew something's going on. I can't see what God's doing. I can't detect a whole lot of things that's God doing. But I'm here to tell you, God's working. God's absolutely working. Ezekiel may not have seen that for 5 long, miserable years while these folks was down there. Couldn't hear from God. God hadn't spoke to them. But Ezekiel knew that God was still there and God was speaking. I believe I made mention that last night. When God gets ready to do something, He don't need somebody to go up the street with a banner. He don't need a folks that's demonstrating before an abortion club. When God gets ready to do it, He can do it in everybody in town. Know that God's doing it. It won't be a Baptist movement or a Presbyterian movement. It'll be a God movement. And that's what needed to take place. We get so tied up in names and brands. And God said, just get tied up in me. And that'll make a difference. After 5 years, Ezekiel had been waiting on God. And all of a sudden out on the plains. I mean, this is 700 miles from the temple. This is 700 miles from the protective walls of Jerusalem. This is 700 miles of where the beady-eyed priest and going through every kind of a religious ceremony they knew to do, trying to get to God, trying to get to Him with blind lambs and sick bullocks and a life undedicated to God. But here he's 700 miles from there. And all of a sudden out on the plain came a whirlwind. Read that in the first chapter. First four verses will tell you that. And man, here comes a whirlwind. And when that whirlwind's coming, it's taking everything in its path. I'm all the debris, the sand, the dust. I mean, buildings and everything else. And Ezekiel could stop and look, now that's God. That's God. I'll tell you, when God shows up, we ought to show out. Amen? And so you realize this. Now days had passed by. And Ezekiel had, God told him, now this is amazing to me. I have to read this sometime two or three times to get my head screwed on right. But he said, now Ezekiel, I want you to go out in the front yard, right in front of your little old lean-to. And I want you to go out there and I want you to lay on your right, left side of me. Well, I want you to lay on your left side 140 days. And he asked us to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We're like, what? Here he was laying on that. Say he'd get for 140 days, and I believe for about 12, 13 other days, he went out and laid on his right side. Now, of course, I think from what I can get from the scripture, even he went in the house. And I'll tell you, about out 10 or 15 days after laying out there in the front yard, I mean, it began to get the attention to people. They began to come, all those captives began to come, what in the world is wrong with the preacher? I'm laying out in the yard, not saying one word. 140 days passes by, then he changed his side. And I can hear him say, God's about to do something. God's about to speak to us again. And God was. God was. God took Ezekiel up to the hair of the head. He made mention there that he took him the locks of his hair. You and me talk about the hair of the head. We've just got enough to hold on to. He took him. Now, this is in the vision. He takes him now to Jerusalem, 700 miles away, in a vision. He's dropped off there. And when he does, he's dropped off to the side of the wall that surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord said, now, Ezekiel, I want you to look at, look, there's a little hole yonder in the wall. And Ezekiel walks over to that hole. And now the Lord God tells him, now tell you what I want you to do. I want you to dig that hole up big enough so you can go in there. It's on the back side of the temple where it used to be. You see, I want you to dig deep enough so you can go through. Which is telling me at the same time, Jeremiah was contemporary along with Ezekiel. They prophesied at the same time. Ezekiel was there and they'd already run Jeremiah out of the temple. Here's down, the Bible said, the byways, which is the crossroads. When the people come up to the house of God, Jeremiah stood down there and preached to them. They spit in his feet. Ignore him and run their nose up. In fact, one place talked about even thumb Ezekiel. That what is doing thumbing God. Said, we don't serve God. We're getting on pretty good. I mean, it's sad. It said, did you know America today is in the worst shape spiritually, physically, financially, and morally than our history has ever written down? But you listen to the average dumb bunny on Main Street, and they say, we're getting along the best we ever had. Blind, dumb, and away from God. He said, now you slip in the back door. I want to show you what's going on. Now, the reason he's doing this, he's telling this little girl, a rich, poor girl. He's telling her, just like he's telling you and me, don't get away from where you came from. Don't get away from your spiritual heritage. So he said, I want to tell you what happens. When you get away from that spiritual heritage. He goes in the back door. He goes in an unforbidden place. And there are men in the elders, 25 men. And they've turned their back on what's going on in the house of God. The Bible said, and they turned toward the sun. Now what they was really saying there, this is really a new day. This is absolutely different than any time we've ever known. This is a new day. And since it's a new day, I'm turning my back on what's really going on. Because really nothing I can do about it. I want to tell you something, church. There is something you can do about what's going on in your community and your church and in this area. You can do something about it. God's still on the throne. Let me change that. God's on the throne. Not sure he's still, but he's on the throne. God's there to do a work for us. And so he looks and sees what's going on. Now the women's got in there. You women, would you listen? I love you. I appreciate the part that you play, if you want to put it that way. I appreciate the position that God's placed women in. There used to be a saying when I grew up, Brother Roy, it said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Thank God for the position and places of good, godly women. They know where their place is. But I want to tell you something. It's not in legislature. It's not as deaconess. If you want to find somebody that's absolutely out of kilter with time, out of kilter with God, you see somebody that's in an orbit, but preacher, we're living in, that's what I'm talking about. Folks say we're living in another age now. I mean, it's much different. That's what they were saying. And they turned their back and said, let it go. It's a new day. The new sun's coming up. Here's the sun. We're living a new day. We just got to accept what's going on. Let me tell the folks here at First Baptist Church. Let me tell you something tonight. And you remember what I'm saying. When this hoary head lays in the graveyard somewhere, you remember what I'm saying tonight. You are just one pastor from absolute liberalism. One pastor. You remember that. Now, that's what's happening here. Wrong leadership. And here's these 25 elders that's sitting right there in the congregation and saying nothing we can do about it. I want to tell you, if I'm sitting in the congregation and somebody gets up and reads the Bible that I'm not familiar with and I don't believe in, I'm not going to sit there. I'm going to do something about it or leave one. Amen? Somebody gets up here and wiggles more than they can understand. 7 11 songs, 7 words for 11 times. I'm just saying you're one preacher away from liberalism. Don't turn your back on it. Stand for what's right in this blessed book. Now these women were in there weeping because of the gods. You read over our king chapter, don't come to me right now, but she was a goddess of Tummo. Tummo. Which was a god of fertility. They were committing all kind of evil morality in the house of God. God said, that's a stench in my nostrils. Now that's exactly where men are going if we forget where we came from. If you forget where you were when God saved you, get a picture here of the deplorable condition that this little girl was in when she was born. Nobody cared for her. She was a half-breed. Nobody was concerned. She had no hope because she didn't have a good background. Nobody's concerned about her. Left there to die. Nobody was there. Even the umbilical cord that gave her life had not even been severed. There she was in the filth of a mother's womb and never been washed, salted down, and cleaned up. There she was in a deplorable condition. By the way, that's exactly where I was when God found me lost and undone in my hellish condition. I know I wasn't but 13 years old, but I could have gone to hell at 13 just as well as I could have gone at 14 or 15. I want to tell you, if a 7-year-old child can get saved, a 7-year-old child can go to hell. Are you listening to me? In a deplorable condition, nobody cared for it. Nobody's concerned about it. Could I tell you, if you really think about the real concern that's around us today about people that does not know God, that's lost and undone without God, it is deplorable tonight to recognize how slim a burden we have. You know, I don't you think I'm going crazy. I may have, but don't you think that? Only time we ever get started is when tragedy hits. I'm concerned, thank God for people. I pray for those that went through a horrible, horrible tragedy when some yellowback, somebody that don't have enough sense to build a bird nest, much less to get out of a shower of rain. I mean, somebody is horrible and is cowardness is what they did over there yesterday. It's deplorable. We get stirred up about that, but I want to tell you, as soon as the streets are cleared up, we've forgotten about it. Tell me how many in that same crowd that announced what went on in Boston, Massachusetts yesterday, how many of them grieve for 700,000 babies that died in a mama's womb yesterday. How many got stirred up about that? It all boils down to them. Only thing that they're interested in is news and not what's right. God said, don't you get to the place that you forget where you came from. I could have died and went to hell. You could have too. I could have been blown set off of the walls of hell tonight. But I'm glad, thank God, that Friday night in Little Plank Church down a dirt road, the Holy Ghost of God came and introduced me to Jesus. On where they got saved back yonder, where they got saved up here. It happened so quick I couldn't tell you. Glory to God. But I do know, thank God, I was a changed boy. God gave me new life, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I've been sorry as last year's chew tobacco, but I want to tell you, God still loved me. God still cares for me. Even though I may fall and get my garments dirty, He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I. For glory to God, I'm glad I hadn't forgot about that little Friday night in that little church. Why, this pew right here, that line of pews right there, probably bigger than that whole church. But I don't care, had a God bigger, never been in that. Thank God came where I was. Loved and saved me by the grace of God. Had on a pair of old blue overalls that Mama had washed for me. Button popped out on a bib of it going to church that night. Found me a nail run through that gals to go to church. And that night God came where I was. Shining nail overhauls, no money in my pocket. A lost sinner, but God came where I was and saved me by the good grace of the Lord. I absolutely don't want to get away from that. That's the reason our church is as cold as a monkey's nose now. Forgot about where they came from. We just think, you know, God owed it to us. But I said, Lord, God said, I'll never leave you. Then he just added, I mean, just add a big dump carload on the other end that said, I'll not forsake you. Brother Roy, some of us will get so far away from God, our kinfolks won't have anything to do with it. I hope I don't ever disgrace my church. Hope I don't disgrace my family. But if I would, I'm saved by the grace of God and standing somewhere in the shadows. Thank God when everybody else is gone, everybody else is turning their nose up at me and you. God said, I'll never leave you. And when that cloud runs, I'll never forsake either. I'll be standing there through thick and thin. I don't want to forget about that tonight. Don't forget about where I came from. But this little girl, she really got over it. You see what happened to her? You read on down in that chapter. She became a beautiful girl. Well, I'm glad God does that. Hallelujah. Amen. So we may have been in bad shape if God hadn't come our way, wouldn't we? Amen. This girl, she made a beautiful girl. Could I say that? That's what God does when He gives us peace in our heart. Boy, there's just an expression from that peace in our heart that gets in our face and gets in our attitudes and gets in our conversations and it just makes us beautiful. I mean, you don't have to be pretty. Really, you don't have to be pretty to be beautiful. Amen. Some of the most beautiful people I know. I mean, they had just such a pleasing personality. You just wanted to be around that crowd. That's what God does for you. Amen. I remember that boy lived over here in Lincoln. And lived in the part of a little Mill Hill. If you ever know anything about a Mill Hill, they called them lint heads. And that's where the old cotton mills, you know, they had spinning and weaving and whatever. And it's poor folks. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot, but this fellow lived right behind us on that old mill here. Bitter. My soul. And we boys are out in the backyard playing. If we knocked the ball and it got across the fence over his place, if his hand he got that ball, we didn't get it back. I mean, he didn't like anybody. In fact, I really don't think he ever liked himself. I mean, he's a bitter, bitter man. I mean, everybody around him, I mean, just had nothing to do with it. It didn't have anything to do with anybody else. But just that kind of attitude. I never forget one Saturday morning. I seen him jump the fence in the backyard. And I seen him make it towards the house. I said, oh Lord, we're in for something. What he's up to, we're in for something. And his name was Cloniger. And I said to my brother, I said, because Mr. Cloniger, he's found something we've done. He's going to tell Daddy about it. And it's going to be on. And lo and behold, when he passed, caught myself in the backyard, he smiled. Said, Lord God, I'm wrong with that man. I've never seen him smile since I've known him. A little while, on the back screen, dim porch, in that little old house, I heard Daddy scream and I heard him holler. There's a praise in God. He got somewhere to prayer meeting on Friday night, got saved with the grace of God. Come down and tell Brother Lockheed, something's different in my life. I got changed. I want to tell you, that's what God does. Don't ever get over what God did for you when you got saved. Still wave your hand. Still praise God because you're saved by His grace. Amen. Amen. But she had gotten to the place. I mean, she really had become attractive. And when she did, she thought she had arrived and she got away from God. You know, I kind of wondered, I've never been to church before. I'll just confess to you, walked in, seen all this fine stuff, you know. And I'm not used to this. And, but on the other hand, God deserves the best, doesn't He? Are you listening to me? God deserves the best. And I said, I hope these folks hadn't let this beautiful building squinch out what they got in their life if they've been saved by the grace of God. And I got here and the choir got singing. I seen anybody lift hands. Praise God. She hadn't got arthritis. Amen. Somebody else lifted a hand. I said, praise God. I felt the breeze of God myself. Don't ever listen, church. Don't ever get over what God did for you. Brother Laura, they told me and you both. That's all right. You'll get over it. You'll get where you won't scream and holler and pray. I want to tell you the excitement of being saved by the grace of God and being excited about this Bible that's a power of God to salvation. It's a lamp to my feet and light in my pathway. I don't ever get over that. I should have retired a long time ago. I'm 83 years old, going on 90. And I am. And listen, I don't want to get over what God, I ought to hung it up. I ought to have been quit a long time ago, but I couldn't find no place to quit because what God did for me, God didn't quit before He got to Calvary. I'm glad and thank God the captain of my salvation took that cross and went all the way. Thank God bore my shame and my sin and my horribleness and saved me by the good grace of God. I don't want to get over that. I want to preach as old Bud Robinson used to say, I want to preach as long as I've got a voice. I want to kick him long as I've got feet. I want to box him as long as I've got a fist. And I want to bite him as long as I've got teeth. And when they're going to gum the rascal. Amen. Don't give up what God's done for you. Just be sure God's able to take that what He's done and use it for His own honor and glory. So she had gotten to the place where she had really gotten over what God had done for her. We call it, of course, that's an Old Testament. You can't find it in the New Testament. You can't find backsliding in the New Testament. You find it in the Old Testament. You can't find it in the New. But that's about what happened to her. She just backslid. I mean, she got away from God. Got kind of tied up in her own self. Figured she couldn't make it. But I don't tell you, sure as you get that way, tragedy comes. Things come that you're not able to handle any longer. I can use this in Paul, and what a blessing he was. Paul was an educated learner, very few men ever, God ever called of this caliber. Good, great man of God, student of the book, filled the Holy Spirit of God, loved lost souls. But I want to tell you what, from the day he got saved on Damascus Road till God called him home, it was a rough road. He's in his own little old hired house, rental property. Having to pay for his rent himself. And every day is tied up to guards. 24/7. There he lying on his back. Day in and day out tied to these men. And I think Paul's life got in such a place that when a guard said, "You're assigned to Paul for this next 24 hours. I said, "Oh Lord God, not again." Because I believe when they tied them up, old Paul said, "Did they ever tell you about what happened to me on the road to Damascus? Did they ever tell you how God got me out of religion and saved me by the grace of God?" 2 long, miserable years. Do you know, I read that and never hear of Paul complaining. Not one time. Little church at Philippi. I mean, the least expected church to send up a little gift. Epaphroditus brought it up one day. Paul was there and he got this little offering. And I can hear him say, "Pat, stay around a little while. I want you to write a letter. I'm going to quote it to you. And I want you to take it back down to Philippi." And Paul couldn't have made it without the offering that they gave him. But Paul said, "I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in." Boy, it's sentimental, isn't it? You know what Paul's saying? Paul said, "Sure, I was hungry, but I was content because I knew who was on the throne. I know when time come to eat, he could give me something to eat. And if it didn't come as often as I thought it did, thought it would, he can take care of my hunger pains." Oh, we've got to have the best anymore. We've got to be in the best environment. But Paul said, "I just learned. Cockroaches eating my bread. Rats are gnawing on my toes. I'm just going to be content because I know I'm here because God put me here. I know I'm here and I'm just going to be content because God knows where I am. He can find me before I go to sleep tonight and be here and I wake up in the morning. I'm going to be content because I know that God knows where I am." He had not forgotten about that Damascus experience. He had not forgotten how blinded he was in religion. And that missed that day he could have went to hell. He didn't want to ever forget that. Therefore he said, "I'm going to be content whatever happens." You see, I got a glimpse here a few weeks ago. Paul said, "I got caught up in the third heaven. And I wish I could write that to you today. I wish I could put that down in print." But God said, "No, they wouldn't understand it." And you watch Paul's life. Ever since Paul said, "I was caught up in that third heaven. And I just caught between a thread. I didn't want to stay down here or go up yonder." You watch how recklessly Paul lived from that day till God called him home. He said, "Paul, chains, prison, hardships wait you in Jerusalem." He said, "Boys, let's go." He had seen so much of God and what was waiting. He didn't care. "I have learned to be content with wherever I am. I want to ask you something, church, and we're fixing to go. Have you got away from what God did for you? He said that second verse. I want you to get Jerusalem and remember their abominations. I want you to get them and remember where they were one day. Sad. I tell you where I was. Well, I'm glad God saved me. I could have been an insane scene without a song. I remember, and all these folks are dead but me, or I wouldn't tell it. But this woman lived out across the woods from us. Had gone out there in the woods and she'd got some of old window panes. Now, young folks, don't you take what I'm doing, do it yourself now. But she had about four of them window panes. She had dug out a little place and she would take her winter flowers and put them in there to keep them during the winter time and the good sunshine on and keep them. And I went out there one day and just accidentally threw a rock and it burst one of those window panes. That sounded pretty good, so I tried a couple more. And went along before I had half of them broken. And I just went on like nothing. I said, if God hadn't saved me, I'd have been singing without a song. And I remember Miss Wilson was her name. I never forget her. And Miss Wilson, if you're listening, just forget about it. And she said after that day, and she's looking at those panes and those windows that was broken. She said, "Preacher," and my daddy was standing there. Said, "Preacher Lockie, if all of our young boys in this community is like James, you wouldn't have to worry." That's where God found me. I was a liar and a cheat. And I couldn't do any better because the devil's my father. But I'm glad. Thank God when I got a new parent. When I found God. And it made a difference in my life. I want to ask you something. Have you forgotten where God brought you from? I said maybe last night. I was born 1930, right in the midst of depression. I mean, 29, a year before I was born, banks went bam. I mean, nothing. We had to dig everything we had out of the ground. There's nothing. I want to say thank God for my heritage. Thank God I had a mom and daddy took me to church. And I'm glad that I have never gotten away from what God did for me when He saved me 70 years ago. Have you gotten over it? Be a good time to get around this hall tonight and say, "Dear God, I wandered far away from You. I'm coming home. I want You, oh God, I want You to start a fire in my soul and help me to remember where I was and live in that capacity." Let's stand. I'm going to just ask the musicians, if I'd be all right, brother. Just ask the musicians to come and play that song if you've got it right handy. I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. Now, you don't have to wait till they start playing, but God speaks to your heart. Why wouldn't you just slip out now, get down around this altar and get on your knees and say, "God, I have drifted away from You, and I'm coming back tonight. I've let what You did for me ever, how long ago it was, but I'm coming tonight, Lord God, to renew and to refresh myself in Your presence. I don't want to forget that, God. You've been good to me. God did something for You, none other. Money couldn't do it. But God did it for You without charge, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Why wouldn't you slip out with these that are coming tonight and bow around this altar and say, "Dear God, I'm coming home tonight. I've wandered far away from You, but I'm going to get back tonight. I know what You want in my life. I know where I was one day. I'm coming back tonight. I want to tell you, thank God that'll stir up revival. You just really get back and not forget about where you came from. Under condemnation. But I'm glad tonight you that could have said that long time ago and God saved you. You can stand along with Paul tonight and say, there's now, therefore, no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Why wouldn't you slip out and get around this altar and say, dear God, tonight, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Let God do a work for you. Boy, it'll do a difference in your church. It'll set a different atmosphere when you come. It'll not be a drudgery, but it'll be an exciting thing just to come and join in the singing, join in the praying, listen while the preacher preaches. Let the Word of God dig deep in your heart and plow up that fertile ground, or that fallow ground, rather. Why wouldn't you let God do that for you tonight? I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. I'm coming home tonight. Have you ever been away from home a long time? I have. But I remember one Sunday morning going back to Conowell, North Carolina. Had been gone to a dry country with nothing but mowed grass, and it had died out. Just after daylight on a Sunday morning, me and my wife drove in the front yard back in North Carolina. Been 1,200 miles away from home. But God let me come back, and I thought, my, what a joy just to come home. What a joy it'd be for you tonight just to leave all that old junk behind and come to God. Now, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Our Father, thank you. I want to bless your holy name for who you are. Lord, I'm glad you've left us a book here, guidelines to go by. Lord, I'm glad it's not a guessing game. I'm grateful, dear God, that you've made a covenant with us. And, Lord, dear God, you've warned us, and now you're begging us and pleading, come home, come home. Dear God, for these that bow their knees around this altar tonight, I don't know what's in their heart. But dear God, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, just to throw themselves on the good mercy and grace of God. Lord, I'm glad we'll confess our sin. I'm glad you said you're faithful. All we can do is confess, and all that you will do, Lord, is to be faithful, and you will not be unfaithful. So dear God, help every one of them to yield to you. Throw their life on the good mercy and grace of God. Walk out of here with a fire on the backside of their soul. Share the greatest thing that God ever done to anybody. Is when He saved us by your marvelous grace. I pray for this church. God set them afire. Folks up and down these roads need to know about old time religion. Need to know about a salvation that will deliver them. God start a fire. Fan it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We give you praise and honor and glory for that you do. In the bloodstained name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, preacher, you come. Whatever God leads you to do.